Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I come back again. Okay, so according to Theravada tradition, before we give a talk, we pay homage to the Buddha first by reciting Namo Tassa 3 times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. In today's talk in Nalanda is returning to the purity of the mind. So from this title, we come to understand the original of the mind is pure. Yes, we return to the purity of the mind. This means the origin of the mind is pure. Then why the mind loses its purity? Why? Defilements. Okay. So Buddha said in Anguttara Nikaya, he said the mind initially is still pure and luminous, bright. But when the six pleasing and agreeable external objects like sight, sounds, smell, taste, and tangible object and mental fantasy, when all this external six pleasing, sensually enticing objects come into contact with six sense faces, the visible object come to contact with the eyes, and the pleasing sound come to contact with the ear, the pleasing smell come to contact with the nose, and the frequent taste come to contact with the tongue, and the soft tangible object come to contact with the body, and all the mental fantasy come to contact with the mind. At that very moment, the mind loses its clarity. And the latent refinements of greed is awakened. Before this six sense agreeable object come to contact with the senses, the greed is sleeping. At the very moment of contact, this sleeping greed we call latent anusaya kilesa. This latent defilement of greed is awakened, it becomes active. And because of the arising of latent defilement of greed, then the mind is tormented, irritated, no more calmness. Become irritated, tormented, and the body becomes tense up. When the greed arises, mind is tormented, body becomes tense up. At this moment, at this crucial moment, due to greed, what matters at this moment is to find a way to satiate, to satisfy this craving, and to release the tension in the body, regardless of whether the method used Is it skillful or not skillful? Understand? Mm-hmm. And the pleasant feeling, the pleasant feeling felt while enjoying sensual pleasures has very sticky nature. So much so, it caused a person strongly cling to this pleasant feeling until it cannot let go of it. I give you an example. In a forest, a hunter, the hunter want to catch the monkey. So the hunter get one coconut and open a hole. The hole is able to let the monkey's hand go in. And this hunter put some fragrant food, delicious food, inside the coconut. And the hunter tied the coconut on a branch, firm branch. And the monkey, who was attracted by the fragrance of the food, approached this coconut. And when he saw there are so many food inside the coconut, then he put his hand inside. He put his hand inside the core of the coconut. And the monkey's hand grabs the food. When the monkey's hand grabs the food, then the food become clenched fist, become bigger. Now he cannot come up, the hand cannot come up because the hole only allowed the smaller hand to go in, does not allow the bigger hand to come out. So at this moment, how can the monkey free himself?
Let go
of the food. Say it's very easy. When you are in that position, you will forget to let go of the food. You definitely will forget to let go of the food. You just struggle, want to come out, but you forget. The crucial point is just to let go of the food, then pull out the hand. Why? Why you forget? Yes, because at that moment the mind only think of food. I want to get this food. I want to get this food. Without taste this food, I'm not going to let go of anything, even though my life. This is the nature of greed, based on pleasant feeling. Why you have the greed? Because you remember the pleasant feeling. Because you remember the feeling give you such a pleasant sensation. So you disregard the danger in it. You forget. You are not mindful at all. At this moment, what you want is just to satiate, to satisfy your sensual lust, your sensual urge. Therefore, many people die because of sensual lust, because of sensual urge. So when you answer, you can answer it very clearly because you are not a person involved at that moment. Chinese say, 当局者迷啊, 旁观者清啊, Therefore, this sensual pleasant feeling activates the craving. And craving is the origin of suffering. The second noble truth, the origin of suffering. So this enjoying of sensual pleasures, although gratifying the mind, make the mind very happy, but it clouds the mind. While you are enjoying sensual pleasures, the mind become cloudy. It clouds the mind and also hinders the development of concentration and insight. It also lifts the trait of greed in one's character. one will become more and more lustful. Suppose every time when a greed arises for sensual pleasures, you satisfy it. You give in to your greed. You satisfy the greed. And every time you satisfy, you follow the greed, the force of greed become intense, or the force become intensified. The greed is reinforced in your character, and one will become more and more lustful, more and more greedy, until whenever lust arises, you just cannot let go, because you never try to fight with the greed. Because every time when the greed arises, you give in, until it becomes a strong, rooted character in you. So at that time, when you want to fight with the greed, it becomes so difficult. Therefore, you see, among all of us, maybe 60%, only one become none. 59 or lay person. Why? Because you cannot fight with the greed. The greed, including the greed for family, for the spouse, for the job, for the money, for the safety, for the son and daughter, and so on. This is also one type of greed. You cannot let go. Okay. So therefore, to prevent this, to prevent the defilement, the greed, to prevent the defilement, the greed defied your mind. Buddha urged us to practice controlling or guarding of one's senses, controlling or guarding of one's faculties, one's senses. Suppose a man were to enter a thorny, were to enter some thorny bushes, and there are thorns all around him. In front of him, there are thorns. Behind, there are thorns. On left, on right, there are thorns. Above, also thorns. Below, also there are thorns. So the thorns all around him. Suppose you were the man. How can you walk in such a thorny bushes so that you will not be pricked by the thorn, by the thorns? How? You imagine yourself in that situation. Yes, mindful. Yes, mindfulness. At that moment, the only thing can help you not to be pricked by the thorn is by means of mindfulness. Because all defilements come to the senses. We must understand. All defilement comes from the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and the mind. So if you are not mindful, any agreeable sight can activate your greed. Any pleasing sound can activate your greed. Any flavor, any soft touch can activate your greed. Therefore, in order to close all the senses, you have to practice self-restraint or guarding of one's senses. How to guard? By way of mindfulness. You may ask, mindfulness mean aware of what we are doing or not? No, mindfulness doesn't mean that you are aware of what you are doing only. Mindfulness also including also include mindful of your breath. We call mindfulness of the breath. So if you keep your mind on the breath, in whatever posture you are in, whether sitting, standing, walking, and lying down, your mind is constantly with the breath. At a time, whatever sound, pleasing sound, sensually enticing sound, or sensually enticing vision or sight cannot affect your mind because your mind is with the breath. But if your mind is not with the breath, the moment the eye see with a sensually enticing sound, and the grip is activated very fast, almost automatically, almost immediately, because you have never trained your mind. Therefore, the grip responds very fast. But if you can guard your senses by applying mindfulness on the breath, then whatever you see, whatever you hear, not so clear. What I see is blur. What I hear is also blur, not clear. Because my mind is with my breath, then the definements cannot enter into your mind through the sense bases. Okay. So the tainted mind, the mind is tainted by greed, hatred and delusion and so on. It's like dusty mirror. A dusty mirror kept in a storeroom. And the storeroom, as you know, kept in a messy storeroom. As you know, a storeroom is very untidy, a lot of things inside. So this storeroom, messy storeroom, represents a living condition of ordinary person, just like you. A living condition of an ordinary person, the mind is constantly exposed to the impingement of six types of pleasurable objects. As a layperson, you understand you understand your situation well. If you do not apply mindfulness while you are walking, sitting, lying down, or standing, then your senses are constantly exposed to the impingement of the six types of pleasurable objects, and the mind becomes tainted. Therefore, the tainted mind is like dusty mirror, no more clear. The mirror has become dusty. Why? Because the mirror is kept in a messy storeroom. So in order to prevent further defilement to cloud your mind, we remove the dusty mirror out of the messy storeroom. So when a person got his senses, got his eye, got his ear, nose, tongue, body and mind by way of mindfulness, means that the mirror has taken out from the messy storeroom. However, the mirror has already become dusty. Now what should you do? What should you do to restore the clarity of the mirror? What should you do? How to clean? This is the simile, okay. In actual condition, your mind has become tainted. Okay, how to make it clean again? Is your mind tainted or not tainted? Do you want to clean your mind again? Okay, how? Now is the important one. How? If you do not know how, you will never want how to cleanse the mind again, to let the mind return to its purity. But now if you know how I got chance to cleanse the mind, then I will do it. So now, how to wipe off the dirt on the mirror? That was very easy, using a cloth. Okay? But now, how to cleanse your mind? To let the mind return to its purity.
Huh?
How? I know how. How?
Meditation.
Okay, yes. There are only three ways. Sila, Samadhi, Panya. The training of morality. This one is very easy. The training of concentration and the training of wisdom. So once the dusty mirror has been taken out from the messy storeroom, we still have one task to do, is to clean the white off the dirt on the mirror. Similarly, to wipe off the dirt on the mind, we need to cultivate concentration and insight. The concentration practice is keeping the mind constantly on a single object. For example, the breath. Now, today we are going to practice this mindfulness of the breath. So when the mind is kept on the single object of the breath constantly, let's say breathing in, keeping your attention on the breath, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. When the mind becomes restless, the mind think of ice cream, okay, then know it, come back. But if you do not practice in this way, the mind think of something good, then the mind chase after the thoughts, although it is fantasy. But you have never trained the mind, so you don't know how to break. So you just follow after the thought, follow after the thought, up to the extent you really get up to go out and get one ice cream. Because the thought makes the thing real. Initially the thought is just an illusion, but because you cling to it and you make the thought real, then your body follow the thoughts. So therefore, if you keep your mind on a single object, mindfulness of breath, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, the fantasy comes. Okay, you know it. Come back. Breathing in, breathing out. Then you get angry with somebody, but you know you are meditating. Okay, come back. You know the thought is illusion, unreal. You don't follow the thoughts. Then you come back to the breath. Then breathing in, breathing out, you worry your son and daughter. No, come back. Breathing in, breathing out, you worry your sickness. I sit so long, my leg will be, injured. Worry. Okay, come back. So as you keep on come back on the breath, all the defilements gradually are kept under control. If you do not practice in this way, the moment you worry something, then you keep on thinking, worry, you end up there crying, no more meditating, because you follow the thoughts, which is not real. To find out the thought is not real is the highest blessing. If you think the thought is real, all the worry come from the thoughts. All anxiety, depression, sadness, sorrow, competition, jealousy, all come from the thoughts. If you think it is real, you follow it, then you suffer accordingly. But when you are practicing mindfulness of the breath, whatever thought comes, cut it off. You are not entertained. You should not entertain it. You cut it off again and again, all this worry, anxiety, all these refinements are kept under control already. You are no more the slave of your thoughts. So when the defilements are kept under control, then the mind become quiet, quiet, become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more quiet, and become tranquil, more and more tranquil, calm. Then finally the mind become still, clear like forest pool, and luminous. It will become so bright. Now the mind has returned to its clarity. But when the mind returns to its clarity, it's not enough yet. It has to return to its purity, which is most important. So how to make the mind return to its purity? By way of insight, insight meditation. So to practice, to undertake the insight meditation, we have to constantly apply the effort to be mindful of whatever arising in the mind and body, internally as well as externally. Nowadays, many teachers teach only internally. Very few people teach aware of mind and body externally. Why should we aware of mind and body externally? Externally means other people, not yourself, other people. So why should we aware of mind and body externally? Why? No answer.
External.
Yes? Okay, some more?
External influence the internal.
How? How? Okay, let me question you. Do you attach to your parents?
Yes.
Do you attach to your wife and husband? Do you attach to your son and daughter? Do you attach to your girlfriend and boyfriend? All these are external. All these are external. So as long as you still attach to all this external mind and body, the craving, the greed still there. So how can the mind return to its purity? It cannot. Therefore, insight meditation, you have to examine, mindful of your mind and body as well as external person, because we not only cling to our mind and body, we also cling to external person. We cling to our teacher, we cling to our son and daughter, our husband and wife, our parents, and so on. Therefore, in order to completely sever the greed towards internal mind and body as well as external mind and body, we must apply mindfulness both internally and externally. Okay, next question. Why should we be mindful of the mind and body? Why? You say because my teacher asked me to be mindful of mind and body. That's why I'm mindful of mind and body. But what is the purpose? We cannot do things without knowing the purpose. If you do things without knowing the purpose, you have no wisdom. You just follow blindly. So why should we be mindful of mind and body? Internally first. Okay, good. Other question? Other answer?
The mind and the heart
Because you, all of you, you speak on your level, right? So it's all correct because your level. I speak on my level. So any other reply? Just sharing, yes. So that we bring clean. So when you are mindful of your mind and body, then we won't cling. This is the answer I want. This is the answer I want. So I gradually awake your wisdom. Let your wisdom be awakened by asking your question. If not, you never think. Okay. So when a person is constantly mindful of mind and body, then you got a chance. You got the opportunity to see through what is this mind and body. Without mindfulness of mind and body, you never come to understand what is the actual, what is the real nature of mind and body. So by constantly applying the effort to be mindful of mind and body, allows wisdom to penetrate into the true nature of mind and body, that they are changing all the time. Mind and body are changing all the time. They are impermanent. They are not lasting. Why we cling to our mind and body so deeply? Why? Attachment, yes. Why you attach to mind and body? Why we attach so strongly to the mind and body? Are you attached to the mind and body? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why? Yes. Ego self also correct. But why, the most important, why we attach to mind and body? Because we do not see clearly mind and body. We think they are permanent. We think they give us happiness. Without body, how can you enjoy? Without eye, how to see beautiful girl? Without eye, how to see handsome boy? Without ear, how to listen to music, classic music, rock and roll? How to listen the praise word? And without the tongue, the mouth, how to enjoy fragrant food, delicious food? Without the nose, how to smell fragrant smell? Without the body, how to enjoy sensual pleasures? Without the mind, how to enjoy the fantasy? So because of having the body and mind, that we can enjoy. And we think this enjoyment is permanent. We think this enjoyment gives us real happiness. We think enjoyment of sensual pleasures give us happiness because you have not yet find out the real happiness yet. If you have already find out the real happiness, you will know this sensual enjoyment is vulgar, low. In Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Buddha said, Buddha was prince for so many years. 16 years, 20, he enjoyed all the sensual pleasures. After his enlightenment, he gave his first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, turning the wheel, the motion of the Dharma. He said there are two extremes. Number one is enjoying sensual pleasures, which is low, vulgar, not noble. Why he say so? Because he has found out the true happiness, which does not based on enjoyment of sensual pleasures. So now, if we still think enjoyment for sensual pleasure is brings happiness because your mind does not know, does not reach that state of calmness, luminous clarity and purity yet. If you have reached, if you have trained your mind to reach a state which the mind is calm, pure, clean, bright and clear, then you will not long for external excitement of sensual pleasures. So what is important is you must be able to make the mind happy on its own. If the mind knows how to happy on its own by way of concentration and insight, you will not long for external sensual pleasures. Because enjoyment of external sensual pleasures, although gratifying the mind, has a lot of dangers. Very dangerous. You see an ant. First, the ant was attracted by the honey. So he crawl to the honey bottle. Then he take a sip. I never see one ant take a sip then go away. Have you ever seen an ant take a sip then go away? No, most of the ant sip until die in the bottle of the honey. This is the danger of enjoying sensual pleasures. Because when you take a sip, it's just like a monkey. Cannot let go already. You cannot let go. One sip not enough. You want two sips, three sips, until you die inside, no more. This is the danger of enjoying sensual pleasures. Buddha said it. Therefore, Buddha, as a who was a prince, is able to let go. You can imagine the prince, how much he can enjoy himself as a prince. But he sees the danger of it. Therefore, he is courage. He has courage to cut off, sever the attachment to the sensual pleasures and renounce the world. Okay, so come back to the insight meditation. So why we must aware of mind and body in order to let the wisdom give an opportunity to wisdom to understand the nature of the mind and body? They are impermanent, changing all the time. And what is impermanent? Can it bring happiness or not? Buddha said, what is impermanent cannot bring happiness. So when you see what mind and body, they are constantly arising, passing away, arising and passing away, then you feel very oppressive. Oppressed by constantly arising and passing away. Then you start to feel disgusted. Previously, you liked the body, you liked the mind. But now, through the training of insight meditation, you see clearly the mind and body is not what you think before. What you think before, the mind and body are beautiful, permanent, can be controlled. Now, through the insight meditation, you experience mind and body are constantly arising and passing away. They are suffering. They are suffering, and this process of arising and passing away cannot be controlled. What cannot be controlled is called non-self, anatta. What cannot be controlled is called non-self in the teaching of the Buddha. Non-self does not mean that nobody here, no one, no. Non-self means that, non-self has many meanings. One of the meanings is that the thing which cannot be controlled is called non-self. So when you see clearly mind and body is impermanent, anicca, is suffering, dukkha, is non-self, anatta, then you let go the attachment. You let go the clinging. You let go the craving for it. When you let go all this deformant, clinging, attachment, clinging, which is the origin of all suffering, then the mind gradually returns to its purity. The purity of the mind represents a mind which is free from greed, attachment, clinging, craving, and delusion. And at that time, the mind can be happy on its own. No need music, no need eye, no need to see any beautiful things. The mind knows how to be happy on its own. This is called the strength of the mind. Therefore, to restore the purity of the mind, you have to undertake the training of concentration and insight. Is it clear enough? Okay. If clear enough, then we stop here. Okay? Any question? Any question? Okay, if there's no question, I just roughly give you the instructions how to start the retreat. So today we are going to teach Anapana, mindfulness of the breath. Mindfulness of the breath, the Pali called Anapana Sati. Anapana means in breath and out breath. Sati means mindfulness. So the whole process is to keep the mindfulness with the on the breath. And what's important here is not to follow the breath go up to the head or down to the abdomen, but keep the breath under the nostril at all time. You may ask, why we should not follow the breath up to the head, down to the abdomen? Because many teachers teach follow the breath up to the head and down to the abdomen. Then why you do not teach in this way? Okay. Before I answer, let me share with you one story first. 2 years ago, I was in USA to lead 10 days retreat. And one of the students reported to me. He said that she practiced mindfulness of breathing, follow the Mahayana tradition, follow the breath. Mahayana tradition, follow the breath. And I told her, she said she has been practicing for a year and she feels that the breath almost stopped already. The mind is very calm, very tranquil, very quiet. Then I asked her, do you want to progress further or not? She said, of course. Okay, then don't follow the breath. I asked her, since your meditation, you have achieved such tranquility of the mind, if you want to break through, go one step further, just don't follow the breath. Keep your attention under the nostril or in front of you here. And mindfully breathe in, breathe out. Don't follow. Don't let the mind go up and down. And she followed my instruction. Second day, she urgently want to see me. Very urgent. Then I see her. Then she told me that she followed my instruction, do not follow the breath. And after a short while, brilliant light come to her. She was so shocked and frightened, fearful. He said that, sister, luckily you told me before light will come. If not, I think I'm crazy. I think I'm crazy. How can this light come? Where the light comes from? So what I want to share with you is that she has been practicing mindfulness of breathing for a year, following the breath. Nothing happened. I just asked her, don't follow the breath. Keep your attention under the nostril, mindfully breathe in, breathe out, and she followed accordingly. Within a day, she experienced extraordinary experience. Therefore, the method you use is very important to decide whether you are making good progress or not. Okay, so don't follow the breath, huh? Keep your attention here. Some people, when they keep attention too close to the skin, it causes tension on the head. If you have this tension, don't keep the attention too close to the skin. In front of the nose enough. Don't so close. So you have two choices. One is close, one is without close. So you see which one is more comfortable for you. Both also correct. Okay. So mindfully breathe in, mentally say, if you are beginners, mentally say, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And after some breath, the mind goes off. Know it. You must know. Don't hate the thoughts. Okay? Only Arahant has no restlessness. You are still far away from Arahant. We are still far away from Arahant. So restlessness must be there. What is important, don't follow it. So when the mind wander off, no, come back. Come at the time also, don't struggle so strongly. Gently come back to the breath. After few breath, another thought comes. Okay, no, come back. So the moment the mind wander off, you must know how to come back. If you do not know how to come back, then you indulge in thoughts and you make the thoughts real. For example, when you breathe in, breathe out, you think of somebody who bullied you before. The anger arises. You forget the breath. You think angry of him, angry for her. Then you end up want to slap her. Because you already make the thoughts real. The thought is just illusion. You're just a thinking only. If you stop it, then it immediately passes away. But if you indulge it, you make it real. This is very important discovery. Okay? So come back to the breath. Then following the keep attention under the nostril, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Whatever sensation arises in the body, pain and itchiness, heat, cold, hardness, stiffness, forget it. Don't shift your attention from the nostril to the sensation in the body. Just ignore it. Think yourself as a dead person. Okay? What you must be mindful only breath. Then as you keep on going, then all the thoughts will subside. But the pain is still there. So you got to practice endurance. You must have some energy to bear the pain. If you cannot, then you can sit on a chair. There are many chairs behind. Sit on a chair. Okay, so basically this is the instruction. Anapana is very, the instruction is very easy, but to calm the mind takes effort and time. Okay, so any question before I leave? Any question? Oh, yes. It depends on individual. If some people, they do, for me, the best is when you wake up early in the morning, because the mind is not so clear yet, so it's very good to gain concentration. Okay, there's another important point that if you want to make progress in this method, while observing the breath, make your mind a little bit weak. Don't be so alert. Don't be so like want to fight with army. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. No, not like that. You just relax the body, relax the mind, gently keep your attention under the nostril. make your mind a little bit weak, then you can go into deep concentration. This point, many people don't understand. They thought meditation must be fight with defilement. So use all the force. Then it end up, here suffering. Headache, heart, the nose also become hot. I got to tell you first, because many people get caught because of this wrong tactic. So first, relax the body and mind. Relax whatever tension you have. Relax first. Don't so urgently go to the breath. Whatever tension you have, relax. Let go. Relax until you feel that your body is completely relaxed. The mind alert, but not alert, but not hard, not harsh. The mind gentle, soft. Then gently breathe in, breathe out. Then you go to very good state. Okay. Okay, so...